This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Hi, it's Claire Kimball here, founder of The Squiz. One of the things that you've told us time and time again is that you appreciate how we do the news, but also appreciate the fun and the quirky bits and pieces too. So I wanted to let you know that we have a weekly newsletter called The Saturday Squiz. It's the week in news, but it also has recommendations of great recipes, books, TV shows, podcasts, and so much more. So grab your phone, go on, and head to thesquiz.com.au to sign up. We're the shortcut to the news and so much more. That link is also in your episode notes.
Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Tuesday the 26th of March. In your Squiz today, Trump's clashing court dates, pushing to raise the minimum wage, a plan to protect the moon, and a cat lover recruits some help. This is your Squiz today. Former US President Donald Trump's first criminal trial, which is the so-called hush money trial, where he's facing 34 felony charges, was originally set to begin in New York overnight. But Siobhan, it's been delayed until the 15th of April, and his lawyers will be arguing then for further delays.
Yeah, so just to give a bit of background, this case was brought by the New York District Attorney's Office. It accused Trump of, and I quote, falsifying New York business records in order to conceal damaging information and unlawful activity from American voters during the 2016 election. Campaign. Now, this is all to do with alleged payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels and the former Playboy bunny Karen McDougal.
So what's happened overnight is that Trump lawyers secured a postponement to the trial's start date. That's after they received 170,000 documents related to Michael Cohen. He's Trump's former lawyer and he was known as his fix-it man.
Yeah, so Trump's lawyers say those documents are exculpatory and favourable to their client, but prosecutors say that they're largely irrelevant to the case. And Alice, as Trump's legal team worked through that, the deadline for him and his associates to pay the more than $700 million bond they've been ordered to cough up in a New York civil case also came up. Now, we spoke about that last week. It's to do with a case which found that Trump, his two eldest sons, and other Trump Organization executives were guilty of fraud after lying about the value of the company's property portfolio. But they were having trouble finding the money. And on Sunday, Eric Trump, who's also the vice president of the company, criticised the amount they'd been ordered to pay.
Yeah, so they've been given a reprieve on that. The bond has been reduced to $268 million. And they've also been given another 10 days to make the payment. Trump himself says that won't be a problem. His quote was, "I don't need to borrow money. I have a lot of money." It also means the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, won't begin freezing Trump bank accounts and seizing assets just yet. And just a quick note, if you want to catch up on more of the details behind Trump's hush money trial, we have a shortcut explaining all of it. So I'll pop a link to that in the episode notes. Siobhan, you and Claire spoke yesterday about the attack at a concert in Moscow, and now four men have appeared in court over that deadly incident. They've been charged with committing an act of terrorism.
That's exactly right. So those men are all from Tajikistan, and reports say that they were tortured during their interrogations, which is backed up by court footage that shows them in court with numerous facial and bodily injuries. Russian officials say two of the men have already admitted their guilt. That attack has left at least 137 people dead and more than 100 others wounded. And claims that it was carried out by an Afghan branch of Islamic State have also been verified after the group posted graphic footage of the attack.
The four suspects will be held in pre-trial detention until at least the 22nd of May. Russian officials have also continued to claim that Ukraine helped those attackers, but Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has called that absurd. It'd be a rare day when we don't mention the words cost of living.
Yes.
It's front of mind for a lot of people at the moment. And yesterday, the Albanese government flagged a couple of potential announcements aimed at giving relief to Aussies who are struggling with the rising expenses.
Yes, the first is that it wants to see an increase to the minimum wage, which is currently $23.23 an hour. Treasurer Jim Chalmers says the government doesn't want to see low-income earners go backwards, and raising the minimum wage would help it keep up with inflation. But any change would need to be independently reviewed by the Fair Work Commission before it could come into play. Chalmers also hinted that there could be a round of power bill relief in the 2024-25 budget in May.
Yeah, that's after Labor's promises to cut Aussies' electricity bills by $275 haven't panned out. Coalition leader Peter Dutton yesterday called for PM Anthony Albanese to apologise for that, but Albanese pushed back. He said former coalition governments didn't land a number of policies that could have improved prices. This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Siobhan, I don't know if you saw last night's lunar eclipse, but if you did, spare a thought for moon researchers who say global consensus is needed in the next few years to prevent what they say could be irreversible damage to the lunar surface.
I actually didn't see it, Alice. I completely forgot like an idiot, despite us talking about it yesterday. But never mind. I'm sure lots of people did. And researchers say with numerous space agencies and private companies rushing to build bases on the moon for research and mining, there are concerns several prime sites could basically get trashed. Now, this comes after a new report called for the safeguarding of sites of extraordinary scientific importance. The report's authors say that many sites are under threat and deserving of protection. And they're calling for countries that have moon missions planned to draw up space policies to regulate activities and enforce best practice.
And just while we're talking space, heads up, the Aurora Australis could be visible along Victoria's coast as well as Tassie and the southern parts of Western Oz this week after a severe geomagnetic storm erupted on the sun's surface. So that's another good reason to check out the night sky. I know you're a self-confessed cat lady, Siobhan, but I'm guessing, just like me, you'd probably draw the line at 300 cats, which is how many cats a Canadian man ended up with after rescuing just a few during the COVID pandemic. He said they apparently bred like rabbits.
Yes, I think even I would have to draw the line at 300 cats, Alice. But as you say, that's how many a British Columbian man called Bruce Robertson ended up with when he finally admitted that he was overwhelmed, you don't say. So he called a local shelter for help. And he says he was struggling to cope financially and often had to skip meals himself to pay thousands of dollars for their, get this, 28 kilos of food a day and provide clean litter for their 10 trays. 10 trays between 300 cats?
Oh, no.
Like, what? Anyway, despite the huge number, he says they all had names and he loved every one of them. I mean, can you imagine, Alice? How big was his house?
I know. I'm imagining him as the Pied Piper of cats. Shelter staff say that they're working hard to rehome the animals and they say the cats are in perfect health, which they say is quite shocking, actually. I think that's his good deeds done for a few hundred years or so, I reckon, Siobhan.
Yeah, I think so.
Squeeze the day. Is there anything important to note?
So Mary Waldridge, who's the CEO of the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, will address the National Press Club today about accelerating gender equality in workplaces. Now, that could be very interesting given the agency's recent report on the gender pay gap, which got a lot of people fired up. So that's definitely one to watch, and it's on at 12:30 p.m. Sydney time.
Yeah, good call. And that wraps us up today. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
Hi there, it's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids.
It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.